you have the time to listen to me whine about nothing and everything all at once? I am one of those melodramatic fools, neurotic to the bone, no doubt about it.
Hans and Scotty, 97.5 DKSL Sports Zone. Hey, don't miss the grand opening of Fat Cats coming up in Bluffdale. We'll be there tomorrow, 13901 South Redwood Road. Hang out with me and Hans. We'll be there from noon to 3. Fat Cats, the best place for family fun. Great song, by the way. That'll take you back to high school in a hurry. Well, me, our next guest, Michelle Botkin, not quite so much. She's significantly younger than all of us. Michelle, how are you?
I'm doing well. I do remember that song, though.
Yeah, well, of course. I mean, look, it's iconic. Green Day fan, Michelle, at all?
I mean, Green Day was actually still quite popular. They were coming towards the end of their career when I graduated high school, but they were still very, very popular. So, yeah, I like Green Day.
All right. Okay, well, good, good. Don't make me feel too old. That's good. I'm glad to hear that. All right, we got there's a few things to talk to you about. First off, not a lot of surprises. I think we all kind of felt like Isaac Wilson was heading to Utah, but how big of a coup is this for the Utes to be able to land the Corner Canyon kid?
Yeah, I think it's a big deal, if for no other reason. I mean, obviously we know he's quite good. And when you're putting together a recruiting class, ideally you kind of want to get your quarterback early, right? It just kind of sets the tone for the whole class. Those are usually guys that go out and help you recruit and bring in other kids that you're really seriously looking at and really, really want. So, you know, from that standpoint, I think Utah is in really great shape. Having someone like Isaac Wilson on board, you could kind of see just, you know, he's very passionate and excited about being at Utah, wearing the same jersey that his dad wore, you know, many years ago, and kind of continuing that tradition in the family. And hopefully for Utah's sake, you know, he gets other guys equally as excited to be there. But this is a great get for Utah, and it's really exciting to start seeing some of these homegrown kids deciding to stay put, you know, with our local teams rather than going elsewhere.
Yeah, that's true. You know, and that's the thing. I'm not necessarily, you know, it doesn't bother me where they go. I just want them to stay here. For sure. You know, because I know now Alabama's trying to get in and steal some kids. Stanford seems like they've been doing it forever. It's good to see kids stay local for sure. All right. So, you know, we don't spend a lot of time, and we should. And shame on us. Shame on me and Hans. Shame on everybody. But you've been dialed in on the softball team at the University of Utah. Just how impressive of a run are they on right now? And kind of give us the background on what's going on with them.
Yeah, I mean, early on, like last year, so the University of Utah invited me to help do some interviews for them for FanFest. Amy Hoag and softball was one of the teams I was asked to, you know, do a couple of questions and interviews with. And the one thing that Amy kind of came right out of the gate and said was she felt like she had a really good group. You fast forward to last weekend covering the first round of the NCAAs, and I asked her about that moment in time and kind of what she's learned about her team since then. And she said the one thing she wasn't sure about when we talked back in like late August, early September, was how tough the team would end up being. And she said, you know, that's been answered several times. You know, this is a tough team. They like each other. They really gravitate towards each other. They've enjoyed the travel together. And so there's just really good team chemistry. And she said, you know, she thinks it's very obvious. I would tend to agree with her, having, you know, watched the last couple of games in person. You can just tell that they're having the time of their lives, and it's showing up on the field and it's bringing results. And I think, you know, that's why we're seeing them preparing to host the Super Regionals here this weekend.
So kind of lay out what that schedule looks like and who they'll be facing.
Yeah. So San Diego State's coming to town. Those games will actually start tomorrow on Friday at the Doomkey Family Stadium, softball stadium. And I believe that Friday one starts at 8 p.m. So it's kind of late. So that will be game one. And then game two will be played on Saturday. That one's a 3 o'clock in the afternoon game. And of course, if one team or the other gets the two wins, then there's no reason to play the Sunday game. If they split the Friday and Saturday game, then we're going to have a Sunday game, and that's yet to be determined.
Hmm. Michelle Botkins, Utah insider for KSLSports.com. She'll also host the Saturday show with Jake Hatch right here on 97.5 the KSL Sports Zone. All right, so I want to get your thoughts. Obviously, there's nothing I want more than this whole TV contract to go to bed and be done, and we can all move on. But every day it seems like there's another element to the storyline. Now you've got Barry Trammell, who's, you know, frankly, a very well-respected columnist, filling, and he came on with DJ and PK and said that he feels like Colorado might be, in fact, making or considering making the jump to the Big 12. What are you hearing in the latest, and where's your concern level on the overall future of the Pac-12?
I mean, my concern level's pretty low, to be honest. Nothing's really changed in the months that I've been trying, you know, to talk and find some things out. Now, granted, you know, in all fairness, my circle of information on this topic is very small, and it's very centered around the University of Utah, not necessarily so much what's going on with other schools within the Pac-12. So, you know, I can't really speak to what's maybe, you know, going through Colorado's head. One of the things that constantly keeps coming up, though, is that it's more than just the sports aspect for the Pac-12. And I know a lot of fans want to poo-poo that. It sounds a little silly. It sounds snobby. You know, whatever you want to think or feel about that. But there is a certain amount of truth to that. And athletics is not the only place where the Pac-12 or the Pac-10, whatever you want to call them, butters their bread. The academic element is very important to them. And so I think unless something comes back that's just like horrifically, horrifically low, I don't know. And especially, again, also kind of looking at just the climate of what college football is looking like overall. I mean, some of these schools could jump to the Big 12, but in 5 to 7 years, if we stay on the trajectory we're on, you know, are we just going to be starting this process all over again? And so, you know, things to consider: the college football playoff and the accessibility to that, a lot easier if you're in a smaller, more regional type conference. You know, you're potentially looking at going through the headache of having to jump to another conference again in 5 to 7 years when the next round of TV contracts are up. And so there's just a lot of things to weigh. There's a lot of moving pieces going on. I really, truly, ultimately believe the Pac-12 stays together. I think they come up with a deal that's good enough to get through until the next wave. You know, and what happens in 5 to 7 years to, you know, every conference that's not the Big Ten or the SEC at the moment, we'll kind of find out.
Michelle Botkin, kind enough to join us right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Michelle, always a pleasure. Thanks for your time, and look forward to catching up again here soon.
Anytime, Scotty. Have a great show.
You too. And again, remember, you'll hear her coming up on Saturday with Jake Hatch. I got to hang out with her last week on the Saturday show out at the barbecue event. A lot of fun out there. We had a good time.